University of Toronto. He will speak about complex, real, and tropical crops.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the invitation. It's a pleasure to speak here and to visit this institute. Okay, so I will. So the subject of my talk, it is called complex, real, and tropical curves, and I will introduce tropical curves. I'll give the definition, and the main part of my talk will be a list of applications of them. So if there will be two halves, the first will be sort of a short introduction to tropical geometry, and in particular to tropical curves. And the second part will be sort of a review where those objects appear to be useful. Okay, so let me start with an introduction. Introduction is what all these things are about, and it is something which already appeared on this conference in several talks. So what those tropical curves are about, they're about a collapse. Whenever we have a surface, which is say a Riemann surface, if we have a complex surface like this, this is, let's say these are punctures, so these are infinitely long cylinders, sort of a totally real collapse of this thing is something when we contract such a Riemann surface along some fibration. Well, in the surface case, it's automatically totally real. If we have a one-dimensional foliation of a surface, of course, it is a real space. So in higher dimension, one has to one has to require this condition independently. So we have some fibration like this, and the base of this thing is such an object. So in the first part of my talk, I'll try to say how this kind of projection, this kind of collapse, where those circles are collapsed, how this appears, say, in familiars, and so on. So let us consider first the example of the moment map, which is the probably the simplest moment map which exists. Just a map from a complex torus to the Euclidean space, where we take the n coordinates to the logarithm of the absolute values. So this is the moment map with respect to the standard invariant symplectic form on this torus. And whenever we have a subvariety in this torus, we can consider its image. And its image is something which is called amoeba. And this terminology is due to Gilfand, Kapranov, and Zelievinsky, and it is due to the shape of this object. And in the last talk yesterday, there were some amoebas, which were projections in the case of the quintics. So the, some pictures already appear. They do look like amoebas, and that's why they were called like this. So whenever we have an algebraic variety there, so this variety is algebraic, yet then we project it to the Euclidean space, so it's no longer a complex object, and it might be an object of the full dimension, like in here, so this is just some closed set in Rn. And let us say start with some curve which is a curve from the initial example. Right? This is a sphere with four punctures. We start with a sphere with four punctures, can consider equation of a hyperbola, 1 plus x plus y, c plus a xy, where a is some complex number, equals to 0. This is a hyperbola in c star square. And so it's, as a curve, it is this object. And what happens if we just consider its image in R2? Well, we're getting one can check that the result is almost as what we were about to get. So it's almost this one-dimensional object, but not quite, right? It's still a strip, it's a two-dimensional thing. One can also notice something which will appear to be quite useful in the second half of my talk in some applications, is that the boundary of this thing, so this is the image of all possible solutions of this equation when we take the logarithm of the absolute value coordinate ways. So we solve this equation, so over each point we might have several of the solutions. Actually, if say A was a real number, everything would be defined over R. So if whenever a point would be in an amoeba, its complex conjugate would be an amoeba, and the reasoning like that could justify that, at least in this example, the real part of the curve, if it's defined over R, is precisely mapped to the boundary of the amoeba here. Not always true, but in many cases, real part occupies some special position in this. So this is the hyperbola. And say, how can we get to an object like this? And for this, we can consider a family of the curve. So let us replace A, which was just a complex number, with he. He is still a complex number, but now we think of it as a parameter which varies. And one can note that when he goes to infinity, our amoeba, its logarithm, also somehow varies. And actually, part of it goes to infinity. But what we can do is we can change our map. We can rescale our map to take the logarithm with base t instead of the base with the natural base. And then logarithm with the absolute value of t of this object, which is say vt. Is tends to the following object, which will be sort of postulated as a critical curve, slightly later. So it tends to a well-defined limit. Actually, the limit is in the Hausdorff metric on compact sets. So this is a set in R2. And this is a general citation. So this is an example. So let me state more general theorem, which is essentially due to Viro, because it's a restatement of Viro which working. But more generally, if we have a polynomial in some complex variables, and if we now try to deform it algebraically, so if we replace coefficients which were complex numbers with some, let's say, polynomials, okay, then if this is our zero set in C star to the n. So A is just a subset, a finite subset of the lattice. So this is a polynomial, right? Just a finite set of monomials. Each coefficient will now vary, so it's a polynomial on T. So then logarithm, sort of, let me call it zero pitch working now in this form. Yes, probably due to Kapranov, logarithm with the base absolute value of t of this vt has a limit in the same set, in the sense of the Hausdorff metric on with intersections and compact, has a limit, let's say c, which depends only on maximal, only on the powers of t, in particular only on the degree of polynomial, say, j t, when t goes to infinity. So it will only matter what is the highest term at this polynomial, and the limit, which is a part of R n, will only depend on those things. Yes. Say it again. Well, here t is a complex number. Say it again. So t is a complex number. So here we have something which is a part of C star. Here t is any complex number. So we just, this complex number, we let it go to infinity. And when we take the base, we take the absolute value. Right? So the absolute value is a real number. And this is. Is there still a problem? Okay. So once again, t is a complex number. So here we have a family of hypersurfaces. And for each individual t, we take its image, which is the logarithm with the base, the same absolute value of t of this vt. This is some set in Rn. And the claim is that as subsets of Rn, they have limit. The limit is some other set of Rn, which is actually in this form, it's a theorem of Kapranov, which depends only on those degrees of the polynomial. So it doesn't matter what were the coefficient, it only matters what was the highest degree of t. Actually, one can make it more general, yet more general is one can replace polynomials AJT with more general things. So of course it is convenient when coefficients are elements from some field. So and the easiest way of getting a field, and preferably algebraically closed field out of polynomials, is to pass to Laurent polynomial and then to make the algebraically closed to pass to Piezo series with, say, Piezo series, and it is convenient to have it with real coefficients, then it still will be true. So one will only, so then this limit will depend only on the valuation of this Piezo series. Actually, there is some change of sign problem because in Piezo series, one usually takes Piezo series which has the smallest degree instead of the highest degree. So one switches t going to zero. But nevertheless, which depends only on the valuation of this aj of t. So only on the one power, only on one real parameter. So all the additional information is not visible at the limit. So this is the point, and this is a sort of the, so this Kapranov's theorem is in a sense can be viewed as a origin of the topical geometry. Because suppose now we would like to study all possible limits. So now we would like to treat those limits as individual geometric objects. Sort of without, we want to forget about that they are limits of something, we just want to study those objects on their own right, and we'll see that they turn out to be extremely useful in a range of problems which are classical. And for this, since they only depend on the say, degree of this polynomial, or more generally, on the valuation of a Piezo series, we will only, let us only record this degree, which means the valuation of that Piezo series. So let's just only record what is the highest term in T. And this is a thus to every monomial of degree g, and degree is a element of Zn, right? It's a polynomial element. We associate a real number which is the valuation, which is sort of the degree of that polynomial. And actually, it's convenient to take a real number union with minus infinity. We can say that the degree is minus infinity if we don't have any polynomial. And since they were valuations of something, sort of the algebra of those degrees is the following. If we want to take the sum of the degrees, right? So let me denote this R trop, tropical R, for the union of R with infinity. And algebra of those degrees, of those numbers, is the following. If we want to add them, then the degree of the polynomial is just the maximal of the degree, or maybe even smaller. The usual thing for relation is that now the new operation is a plus b, because these are just degrees of them. So most often it's just the maximum of a and b. And if we want to take the product, then of course the degree of the product of the polynomial relation, so just sum of them. And this is the thing is a semi-field, because we do have division with respect to multiplication. We don't have subtraction, because this operation is idempotent. Right? A plus A equals to A. And this is semi-field, is called, was called tropical semi-field in computer science. So this is where the term takes the origin. So this is tropical semi-field. And the name is from computer science in honor of a Brazilian, in honor of a Brazilian computer scientist, Imre Simon. So we have this algebra, and the claim is that one can use this algebra to describe the geometry of the limiting objects. And let's consider some examples, maybe. Okay, one example is another example which was on the board yesterday in the talk of Ilya. It was this degeneration of the elliptic curve. So let's consider x cubed plus y cubed plus 1 equals to t xy. Right, in homogeneous coordinate, this is using thing x cubed plus y cubed plus z cubed equals to txy. So this is degeneration of the cubic curve. And let us do this procedure. So let's first do the amoeba. So let's, this part sits inside C star square. So let's consider its image in R2. And well, one can check that its image in R2 looks like this. Topologically. And again, when T grows, then this hole grows. So for when T becomes larger, this thing becomes larger and larger. However, if we take the logarithm with the base absolute value of T, of this VT, then this thing grows, but we shrink it back, and the thing does have the limit in the Hausdorff metric, which becomes like this. And this thing is almost this collapse, which appeared in previous talks, with the only difference that we do have additional half-infinite ways. And where from are those half infinite rays? So where from are those tentacles of the amoeba, they come when one, for example, this thing is when y takes negative, large negative values. So this is logarithm of the absolute value of y takes large negative values means that y is near zero. So this thing corresponds to intersection with the x-axis, which is not a part of C star square. So this corresponds to a puncture. And of course, since it's a cubic curve, it intersects the x-axis three times. However, because of this particular choice of the polynomial, they are arranged so that all of them are cube root of unity, so all of them have the same norm. So even though this is one tentacle, it's actually a tentacle, it's three tentacles projected to one piece. So actually this is something of weight three. Yeah, so here we have something of weight three, and here we have something of weight three. And these things are things of weight one. So this is means what we consider. And so I'm almost at the end of the introduction part. The point is that one can do algebraic geometry. Over this trope, and it corresponds to limits of the amoebas of the classical things, corresponds to sort of to collapse of classical, let's say, complex and real as well as break geometry. Usually corresponds. I mean, each time one has to see whether there is a correspondence theorem or not. So some more examples is, okay, another theorem of Kapranov is, which tells how to find this limit. So here I just postulated that the amoeba when t is finite will look like this, and when t grows, it goes like this. But in general, if we have the tropical limit of a family of hypersurfaces, which is sum of ajt uj, which is hypersurfaces in C star to the n, coincides with the corner locus I'll tell what it is, corner locus of the corresponding tropical polynomial. The corresponding tropical polynomial, which is the sum in quotation mark, because it will refer to those operations of valuation of the corresponding function in T, of the corresponding Puiseux thing, of only the valuation, which is the real number of z to the power of g. This thing is now something, a polynomial, which is a function on R tropical to the n. It's a function to tropical, right? This, all those operations are defined whenever we take values of z in this tropical semifield. Of course, these operations are very simple, with just maximum and the addition. So we're taking a maximum of some collection, a finite collection of affine functions. So it's a piecewise linear convex function. And this piecewise linear convex function looks like this. So it has non-smoothness points, which is what I mean by the corner locus, is where this piecewise linear function is not smooth, where it changes those slopes. So this is how one can consider what is the limit here, because here we have zero power of t, right? This is t to the zero, t to the zero, t to the zero. Here's t to the first. So this tropical polynomial, which corresponds to this, is sort of zero times x cubed plus zero times y cubed plus zero plus, because there's no sign here. Phase doesn't matter here, whether it's plus or minus or any other argument. The same thing, plus one times xy. Everything should be interpreted in those iterations. So this, the corner locus of this thing is this thing. So, and yes. So everything which is in the quotation marks refers to tropical operations. So z to the power of j in particular is the scalar product of j and z. And so actually this is this tropical polynomial is nothing else but the Legendre transform of this function on the set of indices which associates minus the valuation to this index. So this tropical polynomials are Legendre transform of functions which are defined on finite subsets of lattices. Tropical locus is the red. So I claim that this red curve, which was the limit of the amoebas of this family, which was sort of the collapse of this Riemann surface things in this case, coincides with the corner locus of this piecewise linear function. This piecewise linear function, what does it mean? This means I have some, so therefore it's the maximum. I have to replace zero times x cubed with this thing, which just means 3x plus zero. 3y plus 0, 0, and x plus y plus 1. Right? This is a piecewise linear function, and I claim that it has this corner locus, because here we'll have 0, which is the maximum. Here we'll take 3x plus 0, which is the maximum. Here's 3y plus 0, and here we'll have x plus y plus 1 inside of this thing. And nearby we'll have this corner locus. And of course, when we change the coefficients here, as in the usual algebraic geometry, this corner locus also changed. We have some families of polynomials with the same degree. And one can check, for example, a nice exercise is to check that the lines behave as one expects them to behave. Is that a line is, of course, something given by ax plus by plus c. Practically, one can check that this just gives this picture. This is a tropical line. And when we vary the coefficient, it will only make this line, will send it to a translate of the line. So one can check that a pair of generic lines intersects at a point, that there is a unique line for two generic points, and so on. So the geometry of the line still. So sometimes just this semi-field is enough to have some usual properties of the geometric objects. And to finish the introduction, let me mention that, of course, I only mention here the beginning, which is the Kapranov theorem on the hypersurfaces. There was a work of Speyer and Sturmfels on some on Grassmannians in particular, on practical Grassmannians, some other varieties. So one can see that actually complete intersections are not much different from hypersurfaces, so complete intersection works. But in general, it's not clear how to degenerate, say, some special varieties and so on. Yet there are some important cases where one can do degenerations and replace classical objects with those degenerate objects and work for them, which turns out to be useful if, for example, if you want to count curves. And one thing is sort of this work, hypersurfaces, plus compute intersections in C star M. So we'll have this example, we'll have this example. Also, toric varieties themselves do admit tropicalization, can be tropical. So let me give an example of tropical CP1. What is tropical CP1? We'll have to glue C and another copy of C where Z goes to 1 over Z. Let's say constant over Z. And one can replace this tropically. We have to take one copy of R tropical, another copy of R tropical, and replace it with the corresponding tropical map where, let's say, x goes to minus x, which means that we're taking one line, which is the R tropical. It's an infinite line where we added minus infinity on one of the sides. We have to take another line like this and glue them with the minus side. So it's the line computified at two points, which is, of course, the image of the moment map, which of CP1 with the usual thing. The only thing is that it inherits this tropical structure, which is infinite. So it's, even though it's diffeomorphic to an interval, it's an infinite interval. We have this length notion. And actually, this is just because inside of this, we have a holomorphic annulus of infinite modulus. Just because this modulus is infinite, we have the infinite length in here. And similarly, actually, all other toric varieties over tropical numbers are just polygons themselves. For example, CP2 is the triangle. But in this triangle, the interior of the triangle is the whole R2. And in this interior of the triangle, which is diffeomorphic to R2, we have this structure inherited from the tropical structure on this triangle, which is just the usual affine structure, the tautological affine structure on R2. We'll have those things. And there are some varieties, not maybe at the current stage, not too many of them. And in my talk, I'd like to concentrate on tropical curves and their relations to classical curves and some problems in classical geometry. So let me define classical curves and let me list some of the applications. And then about half of my talk, I'll try to start applications. Okay, so let me just, I'll postulate what are tropical curves. And this will be, in a way, so this will be a sort of abstract tropical curves, not embedded to any ambient space. So something which would be counterpart of the classical Riemann surfaces. So I'll just postulate the ways to families of degenerations to there for this definition. So these are abstract tropical curves. Okay, so the definition is the following. It is tropical curve is a finite graph. With an integer affine structure on it. And for this, I have to say what is integer affine structure, in particular in the neighborhood of the vertex. A graph is not a manifold, so we cannot adapt. So it has those infinite edges and it has the edges, but it also has vertices. And what is the affine structure? This is a collection of charts, so each point should have a chart, which will be a map to some RK. For a k-valent vertex, for a k plus one valent vertex, it has to be a map to RK. For the one valent vertex, it has to be a map to R tropical, such that this point corresponds to minus infinity. And in here, it is just some map, say, to R2. And all the overlapping maps have to be integer affine. So even though this map is to R, this map to R2, we can say that when we're on the overlapping map, this is the integer affine map over there. And this means sort of it corresponds to this GL K of Z extended with arbitrary translations by real numbers. And on most part of the graph, and when we are not at this vertices, it is just GL1 of Z, which is plus or minus one, which is a group of two elements, right? It coincides with O of one. And for vertices, we should have some special thing. So for a one valent vertex, it has to be a map to minus infinity over there. And at the k plus one valent vertex, so let me draw a three valent vertex, it has to be a map to RK, so that any k of the edges out of k plus one edges go to a basis, to the standard basis of zk inside of this RK. So it just goes to the standard vectors, say 1, 0, 0, 1, minus 1, minus 1. Sort of the sum of them has to be equal to 0, the sum of the primitive integer vectors in this direction. In general, we have this thing. Well, this might look like a cumbersome definition. There is an equivalent way to say the same thing using the fact that our group is just plus minus one, so it preserves the metric. So equivalent definition gamma is equipped with a complete inner metric in the complement of its one valent vertices. So an example is the following graph. So these are one valent vertices, and therefore, well, they have to be sort of neighborhood of minus infinity. So they have infinite length. They have to be punctures. They have to correspond to those holomorphic annuli of infinite modulus. So here we have some finite length, which may be some length L. Here we have this. And this is an example of a curve of genus zero with four punctures. We may number those punctures. And one can consider as usual the moduli space of such objects. Moduli space of all tropical curves of genus G, and this means just the number of cycles, the first Betti number of the graph, and with K marked punctures. So in the usual modular space, we'd like to number the punctures. So this is the first, this is the second, so that in the isomorphism we distinguish them. Form is, can be compactified to something which has the structure of a tropical orbifold. As usual, tropical orbifold of dimension 3g minus 3 plus n as usual, and also as usual, if genus is 0, it is a manifold, a tropical manifold, although I didn't say what it is. And what is, so I'm about to come to a theorem which is the key for many applications. Okay, what, plus K, yes, thank you. And if X is a tropical variety, which I didn't say what it is, some other tropical variety. But so far, actually, for our purpose, for all the applications which I was about to mention, it suffices to take X equal to Rm, which is the analog, tropical analog of the C star to the n of the complex torus, is a tropical variety, and just with mean. In general, it means that it is equipped, it's again with the integer affine structure. Well, in the case one, it's Rn or another manifold, it's the usual affine structure. But in more generality, as with curves, I have to say what happens at those neighborhoods of points where it's not locally manifold, like those three valent vertices of the graph and so on. But let's restrict to Rn. Rn, of course, has a integer affine structure, which is the tautological affine structure coming from the lattice, tautological lattice inside. Then one can define tropical maps from our tropical curve to this X as integer affine linear in charts. Sort of every point has a chart where it corresponds to some RK. So there has to exist an affine linear map defined over Z. Sort of the rotation part is over Z from RK to the chart of this manifold, which is Rn, such that it is affine linear. So in every chart, there has to be a compatible map. Then it is a tropical map. Actually, this makes one other way to think of a tropical curve, I guess, more traditional algebraic geometry. So in particular, we'll have tropical maps to R. Also, we'll have tropical maps to prop, which are all polynomials. So actually, in any so alternative way of thinking about this tropical curve is a graph such that this graph is equipped with the structure sheaf, with the sheaf of tropical polynomials. So in any neighborhood, there has to be defined what does it mean that our function is a tropical polynomial. But in any neighborhood, it is a map in Rn. In Rn, we do know what is a tropical polynomial, just those convex piecewise linear functions. And this comes equipped with this thing. So tropical maps to R are those which doesn't have those corners, but the polynomials may have those corner points which are zeros. One can also consider meromorphic functions when we make it a difference of two polynomials, which is the tropical quotient of two polynomials. So these are maps to atropy and rtrop p1. So these are functions to analogs of the functions to C star. These are analogs of the functions to C. These are to CP1. And functions, local functions to here is the structure sheaf is something, yet another definition of the tropical structure on a graph. And now we would like to consider the same thing in the case of an arbitrary tropical variety, which is Rn in this case. And actually, one can form also the one can fix homology class, which is homology class. I'll tell what it is in the case of Rn. Or this is in Rn, homology will be defined by where the punctures go, because it just in the toric case, when X is a R tropical toric variety, this is the homology class, so it just tells where. Is a collection of slopes corresponding to one valent vertices. Corresponding to valent. For example, in this hyperbola case, the degree is just these four collections, these four slopes, 0, 1, 1, 0, minus 1, 0, and 0, minus 1. So this is where it intersects the toric divisor, if we recall how to insert, how to compactify such thing. Actually, this thing is just a curve of by degree 1, 1 on P1 cross P1 on the hyperboloid. So this is the degree, one can fix the degree, one can fix the genus and the number of punctures. And actually this thing, at least in the case of Rn, is itself, it's also a tropical variety. And dimension of this variety again. Beta is the analog of the classical homology class. Well, so it's just a collection. So it's a collection of k elements. It's a collection of k vectors in Zn. It's where the corresponding end of the tropical curve, which slope it has in Rn, where it's on. An integer number, because actually it might go as in our initial example with cubics when we had this picture here. It goes, say, to minus 3, 0, and that doesn't always go to a primitive thing. So this is itself a tropical variety, and there is an analog of the dimension count based on the Riemann-Roch theorem. Well, actually, I should mention that for curves, most usual constructions do work. Like one has the Abel-Jacobi theorem, one has the Riemann-Roch theorem, and a consequence of the Riemann-Roch theorem tells that the dimension of this module space is at least k plus n minus 3 times 1 minus g. And actually, the definition, let me call the curve, is superabundant. Well, being a tropical variety, this thing is a polyhedral complex. It's a union of convex polygons. And the curve, a point in this curve is a point in here. It's called superabundant if it sits in the closure of a stratum of dimension. Strictly greater than this number, k plus n minus 3, 1 minus g, and otherwise regular. And the theorem which on which applications which are based is the theorem that as a regular curve can be approximated by amoebas of holomorphic curves. Okay, so let me illustrate the notion of superabundancy maybe by two examples. One is the Pappus configuration, which is superabundant on the plane. For example, one can get the following graph on the plane. The union of these nine lines which intersect in the Pappus configuration, actually what one can see that this one does vary in a larger dimensional family than expected, so it will sit in this thing. Another example is that one can get a planar cubic which looks like this, and make it spatial by inserting, so this part sits in R2, which is part of R3, and here we introduce vertical edges, and one can check, say, the Riemann-Roch, the dimension formula for here. Here we have 12 ends, 12 punctures, n is equal to 3, so expected dimension is 12, yet this planar cubic varies in a nine-dimensional space. Here we have three edges where we can have one dimension each, and so we have 12 just from here, and we have one extra direction which is varying of this horizontal curve in the plane, so this is expected, but actually it's a 13-dimensional stratum. So, and one can prove that this curve is not approximable by amoebas. Nevertheless, if we have this transversality condition, then it is. And important cases where it always approximable, if gamma 2 R2 is a tropical inversion, then it is regular. This is one theorem. Another theorem, if gamma is a tropical map to Rn, any map, and gamma is a tree, which means gamma is zero, rational curve, then always regular. And then it can be approximated by holomorphic curves, and this approximation can be used in applications. Now I think I have 5 minutes for applications. Let me yet try to list them. Okay, so let me start with so essentially they will be in a sense approximation that if we make some tropical construction, if we just do this sort of piecewise linear geometry and construct something which is tropical, then it has to correspond to some honest holomorphic curve over C and even over R. This is something I didn't talk, but nevertheless, we also have some freedom of choice in the phase. And actually, any curve like this is also approximable by a complex curve defined over R. And this has some corollary for the classical geometry. And the first example. Okay, so our first application is the sort of patchworking some construction which was invented by Virov for hypersurfaces in real algebraic geometry. It works for real algebraic knots. And well, this is there is a classical problem in the knot theory. If you have a knot, then well, there is an algebraic problem. Can you realize it as an algebraic curve over real numbers? And if yes, how complicated has to be this thing? There is also a more classical, perhaps, problem in the knot theory, which is if you have a knot, can we represent it by a broken line? And of course, we can always represent it by a broken line. What is the minimal number of chains in such broken line? For example, for a trefoil, this number is six. So here we have a broken polygon with 16. And actually, this presentation would tell us that there exists a tropical curve, because one can make everything with a rational slope, and then one would have to insert six punctures in here. And by the one can check that here it would do have regularity, because here the irregularity, the superabundance, was caused by the planarity of this cycle. Here we have spatial cycles, spatial cycle, so it corresponds to an elliptic curve with six punctures. And there would exist in R star cube, there, it means that there exists algebraic curve with six punctures such that its knot type is like this. And well, this is actually not well developed yet. Applications. Nevertheless, one can also do the same construction, although more complicated for rational curves, because one can also start with a tree and get knots because of the reflections to other polygons. Well, another direction of applications is more developed, and this is computations of Gromov-Witten invariants and such for toric varieties. And here we have sort of two things where we immediately have regularity. One case is if we consider toric surfaces, and any degree. Or we may consider genus zero and then arbitrary dimension, or genus zero arbitrary dimension. And here is one can compute. So let me concentrate, say, on toric surfaces. And I think I'm over time. I mean, there one can compute the number of not only of holomorphic curves, which pass through a certain number of points and so on, but also compute the number of real curves with the same properties. And in particular, there was a relatively recent invariant introduced by Welschinger for counting of real rational curves in the space, so that it's an invariant count prescribed with a sign. So this technique allows to computed, because actually to any tropical curve passing through some condition, there is a certain multiplicity which corresponds to a tropical intersection number in the corresponding moduli space. So one can prescribe multiplicity to all of those things and count the sum of this multiplicity theorem, that then it is equal to the corresponding Gromov-Witten invariant. And since I'm out of time, maybe I'll just mention some also work in progress on using tropical geometry for computing characteristic numbers of surfaces. It's a joint project with Dan Abramovich. And so they also can be used for computation of tangencies. And let me maybe finish my talk with the picture which say computes the number of bitangents to a quartic. Or so the problem is if it's a classical problem with a classical solution. Plücker formula tells us how many bitangent do we have for any, say, smooth curve of degree d in the projective plane. In particular, if we have a quartic, say the tropical quartic looks like this. And tropical line, let me remind it's something which appears looks like this, and tropical bitangent would have to be tangent. Actually, it would have to either to pass through a vertex of our curve or to have its vertex passing through our curve. But in any case, we have precisely 7 of bitangents, and each of them has this multiplicity associated to such thing, 4, because it's 2 times 2. So here we have 3 like this, 3 like this, 3 like this, and 1 like this. So these are 7 bitangents each of multiplicity 4. So we have 28 as usual. And actually, those, just by looking at this picture, one can immediately see that the number of bitangents, that's because such a honeycomb picture exists for any degree, that the number of bitangents has to be divisible by 4 for any degree. And of course, it also follows from Plücker formula, but I don't know how many people realize that it's always divisible by 4. And here, it sort of for a particular curve, it has to come in a group of 4. Each of these tropical bitangents encodes 4 holomorphic bitangents. Okay, so let me stop here. I'm sorry for going over time.
Question or comment?
Do you believe that you can also develop a theory to compute gramophic invariants of higher genus and arbitrary dimension?
For higher genus and arbitrary dimension, there is this, one has to work with the superabundant curves. And for them, one has to define the virtual class. I don't know how to deal with this problem, at least at the moment. I hope that somebody will come up with such thing. Actually, this problem already appears if we want to count, say, quintics of genus 1 for 10 points. And as in the classical situation, also in the tropical situation, one has the family of tropical curves passing through those things.